WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Did you know he's the man called Sting? This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTR Live Chat. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use carry code Rockstock in the Fortnite item shop. We're Epic Game Store with hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin, joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens. Apparently he's not talking.
Damn it. I thought I unmuted. I said I was the man called intern.
And now it's time to find out if Tim's mic works. Tim Stein.
No.
Well, let's try again. Let's see if his mic works. It's one and only. Tim Stein.
No selling like Sting does during a Hulk up.
Apparently. So, oh, wait, we gotta do this one. Throwback time. He is the OLDONETINNY. It is Timmy Stein.
Do we need Tony Schiavone to come out here and go, "It's Tim"?
Apparently that doesn't work either. Or Tim's not here.
Oh, I was gonna suggest you try to play the foundation music to see if that gets you.
No. Tim's not here. Chad, sorry. If you tuned in for Tim Talk. He's not here tonight.
You get the two of us!
You're left with us. So.
I mean, that's pretty good.
We're good people.
I mean, you're gonna hear from us on Friday nights moving forward.
Yes, we can confirm it.
We tested some things. It works.
Friday, 10:30 in that time window. We're shooting for 10:30. It might be earlier, depending on schedules.
Yeah.
Whenever Brent gets home, we're shooting for 10:30. We're going to play GM battles. My GM mode in WWE 2K24. So
it's the producer versus the intern.
Yeah. And we got it to work.
Hey, I had a pretty successful first ever booked show, okay?
I mean,
I gained 35,000 fans.
No, you were like 20-something thousand, or 20,000.
No, it was 35. You got 40.
No, I had 35. You had 20-something. You 20, oh, okay. Like 9, and I had 35. No, you 23, I had 33 or something. I don't know. Whatever it was, it worked. So we got it to work. Got controllers to sync up. We ran through some stuff. It worked, so we're good. Friday, we're going to draft on Friday and do a few episodes on Friday of the season. Brent learned about the draft, so mistakes won't be made on Friday.
Let me just say that mistakes will still probably be made, but it's going to be entertaining to watch these mistakes happen.
Yes, that is for sure. So you don't want to miss it Friday, 10:30-ish. Twitch.tv/WTRLive. It's GM Battles. We're going to have some fun. We're going to do this for a few weeks and see how many weeks we can go without wanting to not do this anymore. So, there you go. So tonight, it's going to be a more relaxed show since it's just me and Brent, which means we could talk AEW. I can ask Brent some stuff for him to talk about. that he doesn't know. I'm going to ask him.
Okay.
So there's that, and our main discussion, which we'll get here to in a minute, is about Sting, and we're going to talk about a comment that was made by Ric Flair claiming that Sting is one of the 10 best to ever do it.
Let's put it correct. He may be one of the top 10 best, according to Ric Flair. It was never definitively said. He was like he may be one of the top 10.
He may be. Yeah. So. Right before the show, since I'm now in the chair of actually contributing to the program instead of just leading the program, I wrote down a list, and okay, we'll see where he ends up, because it's a personal list, and we'll see. I decided to jot down some names and just see when it took me to get the Sting.
Okay,
so we'll get to that here in a minute, but I want to ask you some AEW stuff, some rapid fire.
My blood pressure's already gonna rise, but that's all right.
Okay. So it's been talked about, bandied about, and it's on the interwebs. The Matt Hardy's contract is up at the end of the month. Should AEW resign Matt Hardy?
Oh, hell no.
Why not?
Matt Hardy is past his use-by date. I would also venture to say that Jeff Hardy is past his use-by date, if not just for the fact that his body is probably about 20 years older than what it actually is due to all of the crazy bumps and... we'll say substances that the man has put into him. There's nothing for Matt Hardy to do in AEW. And I understand that there's a lot of people are like, oh, but we can get the Hardys versus Edge and Christian again. You don't want to see that. These guys are late 40s, early 50s. This isn't going to be TLC 3, okay? This is going to be god-awful if they put a match on. Yeah. We don't need to see the Hardys around... Like, if you want to watch the Hardys, go back onto Peacock and watch
the
Hardys.
Let the good times roll.
Jabariza Babe just subscribed for 27 months. Why didn't the banana go to school? It wasn't peeling well.
Thanks for 27 months.
But it's just one of those things of, like, in this instance, the Hardys don't do anything. The roster is, and I think you can agree with this, Rock, the roster is bloated beyond what it can really use right now. But no one wants to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
This is peak WWE when they had to go through the culling and start to release people, because you're sitting there going, when's the last time I saw so-and-so on TV? And you have to sit there and think about when's the last time this person was used.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, they don't need to be on TV.
Yeah.
So in this respect, no, Matt Hardy, great career. You've made your money. Go back to, you know, North Carolina and live on your ranch and put together some really weird shit for podcasts and other stuff.
There you go. All right, rep fire number two. Is using Okada as a heel a great move?
Well, it's certainly a move. You took someone that is hugely popular in Japan and was basically only a face there, and you've decided to put him with one of the groups that people love to hate. So it's certainly eye-opening that they want to kind of do that. I just don't know if his moveset and his personality and everything lends itself to being a heel. Like, his whole thing is about hitting the Rainmaker and, you know, having the camera angle and having all of that. And I know it'll end up being this thing of like, you know, oh, well, he'll probably be one of those like light black hats, you know, oh, he's a heel, but it'll be cool to cheer him as being a heel. No, if he's going to be a heel, he needs to be heel. He needs to be hated. The best way to describe it is if you're going to turn him heel, make him Jack Perry. Make people hate to the second that they hear his music and see him come out. But they're not. They're going to see Okada and they're going to cheer him because it's Okada. And I also don't know if turning him heel on Eddie Kingston was quite the first move you wanted to do, because even though the people love Eddie, I think they love Okada more. So it was just this kind of like, oh, okay, he low-blowed Eddie. Woo! You need to find some, like, Okada, if you wanted to debut him as a heel, he should have come out and he should have low-blowed Sting. That would have gotten him over as a heel.
Okay. Another rapid-fire question about AEW. Will Mercedes Moné pop a rating?
For one show, yes. If we're talking about 4 weeks from now, if they're going to be a sustained 850,000 plus, no, she is not a needle mover like that.
What
there
is the
very few.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead. What is the number that you consider success, and what's a number considered fail?
Because they were
they're averaging what, 800,000 right now.
Yeah, what was it? The most recent was like 700 and something for a Wednesday in March. That was awful.
Was it like 780 something?
It was, hang on, let me go to Twitter because I sent it to you. This is what we do sometimes. It's like we see this and I have to send it to him because it's just like, oh.
We send this stuff, yeah. Good. We have a group chat that we just send stuff that we go,
Scrolling through, big, there was a lot of talk on Friday. Anyway, while I look it up. Oh, there it is. 779,000 viewers. On March 6th.
And that's a Fallout show.
Yeah, that was right after you had your big retirement of Sting. You had your big pay-per-view. Your world championship was defended in the semi-main. And, you know, you wanted to see kind of what happened next. 779,000.
Okay, so what's...
That's bad.
What's success?
For her debut or a couple of weeks after?
We'll start with debut.
Debut, to me, if they get 900,000, I think that would show interest. You know, people are like, ooh, what's... And I mean, the show they're trying to build here is trying to be a big deal. You have a world title match on it. Joe versus Wardlow.
Mm-hmm.
You've got... what was the other matches that was announced? Oh, you have your six-man tag. Pac, Penta, and Eddie Kingston versus the Bucks and Okada.
Right.
So I mean... There are two matches where if you are, quote-unquote, true wrestling fans, you should be tuning in to see. Now, do I think casual fans are going to tune in to see those matches? No. I think they're going to tune in to see that pop of Mercedes walking out. I don't know what she's going to do, if it's going to be like, oh, she's facing Serena Deeb, who calls out anyone to face the Deeb Dojo. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, she's not going to come out during Toni Storm, is she? Because you've already got Deonna Purrazzo sitting there. And that does nothing to help your most recent new star if Mercedes is going to walk in and be like, dibs. And it also, what it would do is put the ratings into shambles, because remember, they're trying to say that the ratings mean something.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Samoa Joe goes, you know, you don't just get handed a title shot, you have to earn it. And, you know, they're talking about whomever competing for either the tag or trios before, you know, it became a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say in order for it to be a success, it has to be above 900,000, because otherwise it's just another show for you. You've been sitting at 850,000. If it's like 875, oh, okay, that means it was a good Dynamite. It has to be 9 to be like, wow, this was kind of special. And then it needs to hold that for a few weeks to show that she is a draw. Because if it's just, it pops once and then it drops back down into 825, what's the point?
And how will everyone turn in on Wednesday expecting to see her? They better be, because it's in Boston. Now, Julia Hart has her own program.
And also, no offense, if Mercedes Moné comes in and her first run is for the, what I would call, secondary women's title, that would be bad. At least when Saraya came in, she went straight for the top title.
I think you do the double swerve on Wednesday.
Double swerve?
Mm-hmm.
How would you set this up?
Everyone was just expecting her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they talk it up at the beginning of the show, like this big star or whatever is going to be on the show, right? And everyone's thinking it's
Mercedes.
Mercedes. DMD. You bring her back as, that's what the big surprise was, that she's back. And then Mercedes comes out and interrupts her.
I could see that.
The bait and switch swerve on that one. Yeah.
Okay. My question to you is the following.
Mm-hmm.
Is Britt a heel?
Yes.
In this. Okay.
She should be. Britt's a better heel. Babyface Britt wasn't working. Everything she did was a heel. And in AEW, it's a lot of gray, but Britt needs to be the heel. Mercedes should be the face. So if I had the pen and the paper,
mm-hmm.
I would do it.
You mean you wouldn't debut Mercedes against Queen Aminata? You know, the one that everyone seems to love, even though she can't win a goddamn match?
No.
No? Okay.
No. Mercedes also should never be on Rampage.
No. Rampage has become the superstars of AEW, and no one wants to admit it, but it is. It absolutely is.
And she shouldn't be on Collision either.
You make her the star of Dynamite?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the biggest problem AEW is having right now is selling tickets. No, because they don't know. Because one of the problems is you don't know who's going to be on what show. If every Wednesday you know Mercedes is going to be on Dynamite, it's consistent. That's the one thing about the Punk era, right? Everyone knew Punk was on Saturdays. He wasn't on Wednesdays. He was always there Saturdays.
Well, and I mean, you have that. That's one of the things where if people want to talk about, you know, oh, a brand split sucks, like you said. No, it's consistency. Because, as you talked about, the biggest problem is if I'm going to try and shell out as much money as you have to buy to get a ticket for AEW, WWE, etc. At least with WWE, when you purchase a ticket, like if you go through the WWE website, what's one of the things that it does for you?
Tells you who's going to be there.
It tells you who should be there. Now, sometimes it's card subject to change, like, you know, Roman might not be at every SmackDown,
but it's listed on the website whether he's there or not, because for each town it's different.
Yeah, and you can go, ooh, you know, I can go see Gunther on a Monday. Seth is going to be there. Cody is advertised. That's worth my money.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm going to buy Collision out in, you know, Laredo, Texas.
And hoping Brian and Edge are there.
Yeah, and instead you end up with Penta facing off against someone from, you know, the Nightmare Factory.
Yeah. Okay.
Boy howdy.
All right, we're tangenting from the rapid fireness of it. What's bad?
What's bad about what's bad for the number?
Yeah, what's a bad number?
I would say 850 or lower. Because again, if this was all building to her debut, her being on, and you've not so much hinted as much as you've been kind of clubbing people over the head with, hey, guess who should be appearing? If it doesn't get above, you know, if it doesn't hit that 9 number, if it just gets you the ratings that you've been hovering around for, I would say, about a year, then you just overpaid for someone who's not going to do anything for your roster. Sure, you might get some good matches out of it, but you could get the same outcome by signing someone, you know, even a third of the amount that you're paying her.
That's a very valid point. So I'm trying to think, is there anything else happening in AEW I really want you to talk about? No. Okay, so...
Swerve turning face. Yay. At least they did that right.
I guess.
I like, by turning Swerve face the way they did, they acknowledge the fact of, like, why should you cheer someone who's done some really bad shit? And he's admitted it, too. He came out in his promo and was like, I've done some awful things, y'all. I know that. But it's like, he owned up to it, and he's like, I've got it, you know, I'm doing it because you all believe in me. And it was kind of like, okay, I can see where you're going with this. This is, you know, a good turn, as opposed to just all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I'm face now, yay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So there you go. What I wanted to talk about before we get into this thing is this Monday, tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, we're going to find out who is fighting Gunther at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. And there are 6 men competing for this honor. I'm trying to remember all 6 of them. I believe it's Ricochet, Sammy.
Chad Gable.
Bronson Reed.
Yeah. Hang on.
As you do that, Chad wants to know, is Ospreay a face even with him being with the... Ospreay's going to end up being... Ospreay's going to be the face because he's going to get kicked out of the... family.
Yeah, it'll be one of those things that he starts facing everyone out, and I have a feeling he's going to, like, Hobbs is going to be the one that turns him.
Yeah.
Because at least Kyle Fletcher and Takeshka were, like, not, you know, like, okay, it happened here. I have a feeling if he faces Hobbs and or he beats Hobbs, Hobbs is not going to be so cordial in the aftermath. Okay, so here's the six-man gauntlet match. It is Ricochet, Chad Gable, Sami Zayn, Bronson Reed, Shinsuke Nakamura, and JD McDonagh.
JD was the other one. Okay, so who should it be?
The most emotional person involved in this match, Chad Gable. And WWE did a fantastic video to set up why he should be the person in the match. I know he's had like one or two opportunities already, and there was the, you know, the spot with his family at ringside, but that played into the video. You know, you watched his little girls crying at dad losing the match, and like, yeah, it's emotional for him of like, this is why I have to do it. Like, it's not just winning a title, it's, this is for my family, this is to prove to them that I can do this. And it would be his first singles gold in the company. All he's ever won is tag titles, and I think the fans would be behind him in doing it. How about you?
Emotionally, Chad Gable would be a good choice. It's gonna be Sammy, though.
Do you think they do a three-way with Sammy and Chad?
No.
Okay,
because your money match is Sammy and Gunther. Gable Gunther is not WrestleMania money.
Does Sammy beating Gunther have the same rub as perhaps Gable beating?
Yes, because it would be a big singles win for Sammy. As much as we all like Chad Gable, he's not on that level. And Gable winning the title based on booking, and they've done a better job at booking him, but he's also lost a bunch to lower end talent. It would be a mistake to have Gable end the streak.
Okay, two questions I have about this for you.
Okay.
One, what would be a bigger moment, Sammy last year at Mania or Sammy beating Gunther for the IC title at this Mania?
Last year.
Okay, so does that affect any kind of thing with this match? Because if Sammy wins the belt, it'll be interesting, but do we forget about it 2 weeks later?
I don't know if Sammy would win the match anyhow.
Okay.
I just, the WrestleMania match, the bigger WrestleMania match based on the six people in it, in terms of name value and marquee, because that's what you're looking for from WrestleMania, is Zayn Gunther. There's no one, based on their booking, who's a bigger marquee name.
Okay. My other question was going to be, let's say Gunther, or let's say Gable beats Gunther at Mania, if that were to happen. To you, does that have the same kind of feel as, say, a Zack Ryder winning the IC title at Mania?
Yeah, because they won't treat it fairly. Okay. I know it's different regime and everything, but Chad Gable, as emotionally behind, as people are behind him and shush and whatever, you look at it and go, he's mid-card, and they've made this into a main event title.
I understand that.
You need another established talent to run this back with.
Or you need someone that you can fully elevate to main event status with that win, is what you're also saying.
Right, yeah. And Chad Gable is not it. Shinsuke, not it. JD, not it.
So,
and Bronson Reed, not it, based on booking. He's
now,
there's not anyone in that position.
If I put out two names, because if we're talking about taking someone and trying to elevate them towards main event, or at least that kind of top tier, Bron Breakker or Carmelo Hayes?
To be Gunther?
Yeah. In terms of that idea of whoever wins this title, you need to be able to strap a rocket onto them to take them to that next tier. And I know that, like, Carmelo really isn't up on the main roster yet. He's dabbled in it a little, but would this be a good way of, like, setting him to that point?
Carmelo, no.
Okay.
Because he went back heel. Babyface Carmelo, where you could get, you know, Mello don't miss, fans get behind it, you would have a shot.
Okay.
Because that means you're trying to make somebody.
Yeah.
I would buy Bron Breakker more than Carmelo in that role, because you're going back to building Bron as a babyface, and you're building him as a killer on TV with gonna just dominate people.
Imagine
so
him beating
Gunther would be a moment, because it's an unexpected moment, because of how long the streak's been for Gunther with keeping the title.
I'm just picturing like a good back and forth battle with them, and then he breaks out that like running the ropes 2-3 times and hitting a spear on Gunther that just puts him down, because that kind of move would sell, holy god, Bron Breakker is a monster.
And the reason I'd say it's a you go with Braun as the face with it is because Braun Breaker can hold the title for a month or two. A heel can screw him and put him back on a chase.
Mm-hmm.
Because whoever wins the Intercontinental Championship should not hold it for 600 days, should not hold it for 300 days. We've gone through the era of establishing championship as long-term, like, history makers. Once Roman loses, once Gunther loses, once Rhea loses, we need to get back to championships being able to change hands on premium live events. Because as cool as it is for 1,300 days, as cool as it is for 600 days, once that becomes a thing where people already are thinking, he's already going to win, he's going to keep it, you're going to get less people to buy into those matches. When the title starts changing hands a bit every couple months, you now bring unpredictability back. Like, there hasn't been a moment on Raw when Gunther's defended the title, as good as Gable's been, good as Jey Uso was, and whoever he's been fighting, Gunther was winning because they want to build the length of the title reign.
Yeah.
You want to have those moments of unpredictability. Well, guy's been dominant for a couple months, and then he gets beaten, and the title changes. Because changing hand the title back and forth doesn't hurt people, because I will go back to the Attitude Era and how the Intercontinental title made people. The Rock and Triple H traded that title back and forth a whole bunch. Austin and Rock traded those titles back and forth a bunch. You know, it helps changing the titles.
It doesn't need to jump every 2 to 3 weeks.
No.
But
the fact that it can happen is what you need. That's
I
what you need
that.
Back. You need back on television. Something like the tag titles can change it. You can have a long-term goal of what you want a title match to be, but you can change your way there.
I can agree with that.
So with that, let's move the Sting.
This is going to be a fun conversation.
So I scrolled up and I got the quote. So I wrote it down when we watched the pay-per-view last week. He will be remembered as one of the 10 best of all time. That's a backhanded compliment if I ever heard one. Why isn't he just one of the top 10? He'll be remembered as one of the top 10, but like it comes very off backhanded-ish. So that made me think, where does Sting rank in the top 10? Is he in the top 10 to do it? Is he one of the greatest in that number? Right? Is he?
For me, I don't know if I want to put a number quantifier on it.
But that's the point.
I get that. I absolutely get that. I think, and that's where, like you said, kind of Flair's comment is a little bit disingenuous.
Yeah.
Because if you just simply said, Sting is one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, that's a good compliment.
That is a compliment, and it doesn't put a limiter on it. It's just, you're one of the greatest. Now, does that mean you're one of the top 10, one of the top 15? Doesn't matter. You're one of the greatest.
Yes.
The fact that he might be one of the top 10. It's like, And like you said, you start to go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Uh-huh.
Now, just in general, I think Sting is one of the greater talents simply because he did it across companies. Now, it's really hard for me to want to justify his AEW run because, in my opinion, he didn't do anything to help people except himself. And I understand someone's going to come out, but no, he helped Darby. He elevated Darby. Did he really elevate Darby? Or how many times, and this is a question for you, Rock, how many times did we watch a Sting match with Darby Allin in it and Darby Allin got the win?
It didn't elevate Darby. We're just going to flat
Sting
out.
Sting always got the pin. He always got
for
the submission.
At the very beginning,
even,
for sure.
Even towards the end. I don't remember Darby getting a pin.
There were a couple midway through, there were. But for the most part, I would say 26 out of the 29 wins went to Sting.
And it was always because Darby did something stupid to take himself out of the match.
Right. But I made this point, I think, on Not So Live. That this was Tony Khan fantasy booking Sting.
I understand that. And the biggest problem I would say is, so we get all of these comments now coming out that's like, oh, Sting wanted to put over the Young Bucks, but Tony stepped in and said, no, we have to give this to you.
Yeah.
If Sting, this is where Sting, as a veteran, as an icon, as anything, should have said, no, I'm putting the Young Bucks over in the end, because they need to carry the titles out of this feud. I understand we're going to do a tag team tournament, because Tony loves tournaments, and we're going to, you know, crown a new champion out of all of this. There was nothing that went over more like a wet fart in church than Darby Allin carrying that title out on Wednesday night And then during the course of that interview, having to go, I'm a champion, but, you know, not really. So whoever wins this in the tournament, there you go.
Here's your belt.
Yeah, it felt so pathetic, in my opinion, of like, we're going to give Darby Allin this title. Oh, now Sting's retired? Nope. Screw him. We're going to hold the tournament. And it's like, not even the fact of Darby's going to get a tag team partner to enter the tournament.
No.
Because that should be something he does. Like, you know what? Sting was the best partner I ever had, but I want to prove that I can win that because he believed in me.
Well, the problem is you can't do that.
I know. He's going to the, you know, Mount Everest.
Yeah, he's going to climb Mount Everest, as he said.
Which is a stupid thing as well.
Yeah, because he said, I may die up there. I was just great.
But it's one of those things, if you wanted to elevate Darby or if you wanted to carry any momentum you had forward, it should have been Darby going, like, I'm going to try and win this with a partner. I'm going to choose someone and we're going to make a run.
Should have taken Sting's son and ran with it.
Sting's son or, you know, whoever you think the next Darby is, you know, something along those lines. It could have been anything. But instead, it just turned into, nope, here's the belts. Whoever wins, have a good time. I'm going off to, you know, Nepal. Bye.
Okay. Anyway. It's just, back. We're reeling you back in.
But
where does he rank? Go through your head. Name some people. And then tell me where he stops at.
Oh, I know. I know if I start naming people.
I want you to do it. Start naming people. Go.
I would put Bruno.
Okay.
Because of what he was able to do in the early years. Okay. Hogan, because of, again, what he's able to do across companies and the fact that he was a dominant force, even though he was most likely a dick in some of those companies. We've got, you know, your Steve Austins, your Rocks. Part of me wants to even say Kurt, because again, what he did in WWE, what he was able to do in TNA, how dominant he was across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Ric Flair
mm-hmm.
is there. I haven't watched as much Harley Race, so it's hard for me to try and put him up in the top, although I know a lot of people do.
I didn't even put him on my list. Neither did I.
It's hard for me kind of to put Dusty there because I didn't watch a lot of AWA or NWA where he made a lot of his inroads.
But he's up there. He should be on there.
He's up there, and I think especially in terms of, like, greatest of all time, both in the ring as well as what he's done for development outside of the ring, that's where I would give Dusty an edge.
Mm-hmm.
Taker, I mean, yeah. I'm sorry, people that are like, Sting greater than Taker? No, fuck off.
All right, keep going.
Here's the thing. The biggest problem with Sting, where I talk about people like Hogan and Rock and Austin and Undertaker, is that they were booked as powerful people. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They were booked as the top of the line. They were booked as, you know, Shawn Michaels, even. As much as he was an asshole, he was the pinnacle that you wanted to get. Sting was the dumbass babyface who always, always got screwed.
Yeah.
That's my biggest problem, is as great as he is, how many times did Sting get into a situation where he trusted someone he shouldn't and he got screwed and it cost him, like, the big moment? That's where a lot of this is hard for me, is where I go, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but, I mean, there was talk that Flair wanted to turn on him in the final match. He tried to pitch, and he tried to get Conrad to pitch to Tony Khan. Hey, I should turn on Sting. And yeah. It would have been like the last bit of, okay, Sting is a bonehead.
So I'll say this a bit, one negative on the Sting career. Sting's TNA run mm-hmm. was only built upon because they treated him like the icon from WCW, and he was only successful based on that reputation rather than what his abilities were in the ring.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah. So that's where it's hard to rank him in top 10 because his TNA run was good, but it wasn't. He was winning matches because he was Sting from WCW, not Sting, yeah. A TNA talent.
And it's hard to give Sting credit for his WWE run for a very similar reason.
Right. So, names. Austin, Taker, Rock, Cena, Hunter, Shawn, Flair, Dusty, Hogan, Piper, Brock, Angle, Foley, Brett.
you put Foley over Sting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. I will. That's Eddie. Where some people I think will debate you, but yeah.
Yeah. Eddie, Andre, just naming names. Because the phrase I'll use is a lot of the names mentioned, generational talents, had all the tools. Sting was good, but he wasn't generational.
And that's
not a knock on Sting. He was just in a class where Flair was better. Steamboat was better. Sting got over more doing nothing than doing something.
Here's a question. Savage over Sting?
I have Savage on here too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, the biggest thing that Sting did in his career was step away for, what, 17 months?
Yeah, he got more over doing that than the matches he would have coming out of it.
And then I would say within the 6 months to a year that he came back, he did probably, I would say, the worst thing he could have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Join the Wolfpack.
Yeah, they built an angle to a moment, and the moment failed because Hogan pulled a creative card.
Yeah.
Because they built to Hogan losing, then Hogan...
Didn't want to lose.
He pulled creative. So that's the point. It's Sting's legacy is good, but not great. He's not generational. There's a lot of more generational talent before you get to Sting. And that's not a knock. It's just wrestling is really, really good. And there's been a lot of wrestlers before him. People grew up on WCW Sting. That's great. But there are a lot better talents since then who can do a lot more. To me.
Yeah.
So that's where I would leave it.
I get that. Like you were touching on, I understand as much as there's, you know, good things about Sting, there are some bad things about Sting.
Yeah.
Like the TNA run, as much as there were some good matches, there were some matches where you started to see this isn't the Sting that we're used to. In AEW, there were a lot of matches that were this is not the Sting that we're used to. And it felt like we're just rolling him out because it's Sting.
Mm-hmm. He was reputation rather than what it was. Early 90s, he wrestled, had some great matches.
Yeah.
Mid-90s, he sat up in the rafters. After that, he was trying to find himself and trying to stay relevant. And because he was the one guy who didn't go to WWE when Goldberg did, and Flair did, and Steiner did, Booker did, Nash did, Hall did. Everyone who went over after the invasion, because what's funny is all the WCW people came in after the invasion angle ended.
Yeah.
Imagine. And the just if you waited and just sort of held WCW and then you would have had anyway, besides the point. Sting was the only one left, and TNA grabbed him. Spike TV grabbed him because he was the one guy they could get.
Yeah.
Because if they could have got Kevin Nash at a peak and a Hall at a peak instead of on a downturn, TNA would have. They could have got Hogan on a... Because they got Hogan eventually. But when Hogan could still wrestle, they would have done it. But they couldn't. They got Sting. Sting's good. Not great. That's just me.
I'm right. I'm up there with you. It's... Like I said, as much as... And I mean, I grew up with Sting, so it's like watching him, it was kind of that, like, ooh, there's the mystique there. But at the same time, as much as WWE had some cheesy storylines, Sting got saddled with some of the worst things. I mean, if we bring out things such as the Chambers of Horrors match, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where you were supposed to put someone in an electric chair and flip the switch, and it was so bad that the switch flipped to the on position halfway through the match, and no one sold like the chair. Like, one of the referees had to get up there and like tape the thing.
That was awful wrestling.
There was that. There was the, you know, Sting got paired with RoboCop, but the problem was RoboCop couldn't be active because the studio said he couldn't, and Sting was injured at the time, so he couldn't wrestle. So you had to do an entire angle where your two biggest people couldn't physically get involved with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had those awful movie, you know, like the mini WCW movies of, you know, like the boat blowing up thanks to the little person, and, you know, Sting and Spin the Wheel Make the Deal 1 with Jake Roberts. There's so many times that it's like, I understand he's the face of WCW, but holy God, what he was given was awful. And then, you know, you had that moment where he turned and you shot it in a horrible way where everyone could tell that this was not Sting who's coming out, it's the fake Sting, but yet his teammates had to sell the fact that it was Sting.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's kind of, when you rattle the names, he's not top 10. Is he top 20? Maybe.
This is all about how you say it.
Yeah.
If he's one of the greatest, totally legit.
Yes.
Top 10 greatest? Ah, shit.
When you do the math. Yeah. Now, caveat. I'll give you the caveat for Flair. Is Sting one of the 10 greatest WCW performers?
Of WCW?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But there's worlds outside of WCW.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Anywho, that's it. That's our show. Look at us go. WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. I don't know what we're doing.
We're on the road to WrestleMania, though.
We are on the road to WrestleMania, though. That is for sure. I don't know if the plan is next. I know we have a plan for what? We have a plan for the 24th. It's the only idea we have. Beyond that, we're going to wing it. So we'll talk some stuff next Sunday. Monday, tomorrow night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night and Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll continue our WWE 2K24 showcase playthrough. Try to get some matches and see how that goes. We're about 9 matches in. I thought we would be like 14, but they take longer because of the longer video. Because the videos are longer. I didn't account for love video the 4-minute videos in between.
I love those moments where, like, what was it? We were watching Rock Austin, and you were just like, I can wrestle now. Okay.
There's like 4-minute matches, videos beforehand, which are good. So I didn't account for the time, so it's extended some. So we'll figure that out. Thursday night's Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Friday night, 10:30, GM Battles. Me versus Brent, the producer versus the intern in WWE 2K24, my GM. We're going to trash talk and book some shows.
Hashtag team intern.
Hashtag team producer. So look forward to that. We're going to have some fun. We'll make it fun and entertaining for you. Join us on Friday. Saturday night, WTR game night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Probably play Fortnite this week. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We're going to add some variety into it, so there's that.
Yay!
After that, CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. As mentioned, we'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Remember, chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit card rocks like in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store when you buy your brand new battle passes, which have all the gods. And you can buy Lego.
This season.
And you can buy Lego parts. Okay. I would always say buy things. The internet doesn't want you to buy them because we're protesting that you have to pay for them. But if you do, use credit card RocketSock for an item shop because hashtag Epic Partner. Tim's on Twitter at Flames Forums. It's at Kyle Driver on Facebook or on Twitter and Instagram. Link in the description for his Redbubble store. Click it. Look around, all that fun stuff. Brent, you're on the Twitters?
Yes, I'm on the Twitters, I'm on the Threads, I'm on Instagram, I'm on a couple of different things. You can find me at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens at any of those. Just give it a look, see what's there. Yeah, so that'll be entertaining and fun. I just did stay up during the Elimination Chamber and tweeted 52 different tweets for live of the event while it was going on in Australia. I still think I'm trying to get over that, but you can follow me on social to see if I do something that crazy ever again.
Just wait till they're in France.
That one's not so bad, because they're at least ahead of us.
They're ahead of us, yeah. That one won't be so bad. Anyway, you stuck with us for an hour. This has been WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you next Sunday and all week long along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live right here at wildtalkradio.com. Brent, say goodnight.
Goodnight.